In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today's homily is titled, "With the Gift of Faith, We Have Been Given a Life Against Which Nothing Can Be Done." I'll say that again. You're not paying attention. With the gift of faith, we have been given a life against which nothing can be done. So buckle your seatbelts. The gospel teaches us that faith is leading to forgiveness and healing, as the Lord healed the paralytic. And the epistle says, through faith we're given gifts, that we see them and we use them to the glory of God and the benefit of others. So let's look at the gospel text a bit and see what we can learn from that. And Jesus, seeing their faith, he says to him, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. And, of course, the Jewish leaders at that time were very scandalized by that. How do you have power to do this? So that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Arise, take up your bed, and go home. So forgiveness and healing, these two great acts of God that were for the paralytic, but they're for us as Christian people, to forgive us and to heal us. You know, we have this great opportunity in the church through confession and communion to get both those gifts. We come to confession because we desire to our sins to be forgiven, confess our sins. And the priest says these very beautiful words, "Have you no further care for the sin you've confessed?" What's he say? "Depart in peace." Wow. You ever feel a little bit churning inside that you need a little peace? Confession is a great sacrament for us. To hear the priest say the words, "Having no further care for the sins you confess, depart in peace." God's the forgiver. The priest stands as a witness to your repentance. So that's a very important piece of our faith and our life. And then to be healed, communion, holy communion. The body and blood of Christ, the medicine of immortality. We hear in the prayers before communion, healing, purification, enlightenment, protection, salvation, and sanctification of soul and body. That's what we get every time we take the body and blood of Christ, and many more things. So, perhaps when you leave church after communion, you can hear these words, "Arise, take up your bed and go home." What happens? We participate in that same very thing in the church. Arise, take your bread, and go home. So this other issue of faith, he says, whose faith saved and healed the paralytic? He said, seeing their faith. It wasn't just the faith of the paralytic, but seeing their faith. So when you come to a baptism, you look at the baby, say, does the baby have faith? Probably more than anybody there. But it's not just that faith that person has. It's the faith of the parents, the faith of the sponsor, the faith of the priest, the faith of the family, the faith of the church, the faith of the saints, the faith of the angels. Very intercession of the Lord Himself. So this faith we have isn't just belong to us. It's bigger and broader than that. We need to have great confidence in this. And sometimes we just run out of it. Life is hard and difficult, and we just lose our concentration, and we feel, "Lord, I just don't have faith that this problem is going to be solved. I don't have faith that I'm going to be able to move through this profitably." Not just your faith. It's the faith of the church, the faith of the priest, the faith of your family. They're all praying for you. All praying for you. So be encouraged. When you feel like you're a little bit down, there's a whole array of people here and hereafter that are interceding on your behalf. So your faith is big. How big is your faith? You can't even put your arms around it. It's uncircumscribable. So be encouraged by that. It's not just the faith that you have, but important. But it's all that other that God has given to us. So don't stop praying for your friends and family. They need your faith. They need your prayers. So in the epistle, we hear these words, the gift of faith opens the doors for us to receive gifts given to us that we might use them. So this gift of faith is also accompanied by this desire for the Lord for us to manifest the gifts, the virtues. So the gift of ministry, generosity, acts of mercy, love, goodness, honoring one another, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, steadfast in prayer. These are the gifts God has given to us and asks us in our faith to manifest them. But hear these words of St. John Chrysostom, and this is very important to us. God gives gifts, but the beginnings lie with us in order to arouse our listlessness. What's this mean? You know, it's like we're struggling and we do this one act of generosity. And all of a sudden we're stirred to do more. All of a sudden that generous act actually stirred me. It lifted me out of that listlessness. Maybe somebody offended me and I forgave them and my heart began to soar. So I'm encouraged to continue to forgive. The practicing of the virtues has a tendency in us to actually increase the practice because there's great benefit. We feel the benefit from them. So, St. Nikolai on this, the gift of grace is poured forth randomly, not randomly, but frames in its measure according to the recipient, so we're encouraged to prepare our vessels. Are we able to receive the grace, the gifts, the virtues that God has bestowed upon us? See, Nikolai says that, how do we do this? By repentance, by prayer, by good works. He says, this is very beautiful. You'll be encouraged by this. Repentance, prayer, good works, a defiled soul can become completely changed. A defiled soul, my soul, it can be completely changed by repentance, prayer, and good works. Repentance because we need to kind of clean the inside of the vessel. Lord, forgive me for all these things that I struggle with. Help me not repeat them. My prayer, the idea that prayer is not just words we use, it's a means by which we draw near to God. And that nearness to God is what is saving us, that sense of God in me. And then finally, good works, just doing something kindly for other people, looking for opportunities to do that. You know, I've read over and over again, and St. Nikolai is very consistent in this, as well as many of the saints, never pass up an opportunity to be kind or give to a beggar. Never pass it up. Never pass it up. Something happens there that's very good. It may be, you know, well, they may not use the money very right. They may not use it rightly. Don't worry about that. What you're doing is you're presenting them an act of kindness that's soothing their soul. It helps their soul. It's not the handout. It's their soul that needs to be touched. So these acts, and they encourage, and we kind of grow in them. So with the help of God, find this patient routine in your life with prayer, with communion, with confession, and kind of keep that consistent, and you'll find yourself completely changed. Completely changed. Do you want to change some things in your life? Find that routine. God will help you. So these words last. This faith that we haven't been given. What is equivalent? This is from St. John Chrysostom. What is equivalent to this way of life, this faith, being that which against nothing can be done? Okay? That must have been 15 years ago or so, maybe more, knowing how old Father John Braun is. I heard those words. And I said, did I hear that right? A faith against which nothing can be done? I felt like I needed a Superman shirt on. No kryptonite, no nothing. This is like a faith that gives nothing can be done? Is that possible? Is that what really we get? So, let's dig into what St. John Chrysostom has to say about this. So as soon as he said that, I went back to the whole commentary of St. John. I said, I need to read all this stuff. I won't read all of it, but I'll read some things that are very encouraging to you. So he says, he works on this verse. He says, he's working on Romans 8. If God is for us, who could be against us? And in that text, this also says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. All things work for good. So St. John. Now when he speaks of all things, he mentions even the things that seem painful. For should even tribulation or poverty or imprisonment or famines or deaths or anything else whatsoever come upon us, God is able to change all these things into the opposite. What? For this is quite an instance of his unspeakable power. Is making things seemingly painful to be lightsome to us, and turning them into that which is helpful to us. And he so does not say that them that love God, no grievous approach, but that it works together for good. That is to say that he uses the grievous things themselves to make the person so plotted against approved. So we have to get this. When things get difficult, God steps right in the middle of that difficulty. And that's where your lightsomeness is. We run away from that stuff sometimes, but God says, no, that's where I am. The difficult thing in your life right now is exactly where I am. You need to get there. You need to accept it and lean into it, because that's where I am, and you'll find me. And that heavy thing will become lightsome. Pretty powerful. That's not all. So, if God is for us, who can be against us? These words of St. John. Why, it may be said, who is there that is not against us? This is great. Why, the world's against us, both kings and peoples, both relations and countrymen. Yet these that be against us, so far are they from thwarting us at all, that even without their will, they become us causes of crowns, procurers of countless blessings, and that God's wisdom turneth their plots into salvation and glory. But against the laws, but against the faithful who take good heed into God's laws, neither man nor devil nor aught beside can stand. If you take away his money, you have procured a reward to him. If you speak ill of him, the evil reports, he gains fresh luster in God's sight. If you cast him into starvation, the more will his glory and his reward be. If what seems the most severe stroke of all, you give him over to death, you twine a holy crown for him. What what St. John is saying, there is a virtuous response to every circumstance in your life. There is a virtue you can find that will procure you a blessing for every circumstance in your life. There's not a circumstance that shows up in your life that there's not a virtue that responds to that circumstance that will give you a blessing. That's what St. John is saying. There's nothing that can be done against this faith. There's a virtue there somewhere, and you need to find it and seek it and be with it and allow God to lift you out of it. Find Christ in it. It's very, very powerful. So let me end with these words that end chapter 8 in Romans. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded, neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.